Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Vendome got a field promotion and it's Doc.
What? But he's a goofball. Vendome's a guy who gets hit with a spear on away missions.
Well, that goofball breezed up the ranks.
Completing a meteoric rise to captain. I can't believe this. Every single thing I do is calculated to help me make captain one day, and this guy just lucks into it.
I wouldn't say it was luck. Vendome was always saying yes to new opportunities. He volunteered for any mission he could, good or bad. Now look at him.
Tendi, it's not that easy. I can't just go jumping into things without knowing the risks.
Warrior, you discover a shortcut through the caves of Drockmoor. Do you enter the darkness?
No way. I'm not trying to get cave killed. I'll stay on the path.
Ah! Ambush by Hal Stromach! You beg for your life like a Baynock! And live out the rest of your days not as a warrior, but as a dentist!
Ouch!
Oh, man. I really love that song. It's so silly.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. That is silly. It's a ridiculous song, but it's something it's...
Wake me up before you go-go.
Wake me up before you go-go.
Can we start the podcast?
Oh, now you're in a
hurry. I thought we had started the podcast.
No, we're going to start it now.
Okay.
We're going to start it now. Dan is going to keep coughing. He's going to do this.
Because we had some stuff going there. It was pretty good.
Le-o-lam-go-lucky-loo.
What is that?
We're done with the vocal business there.
No, I'm doing mouth stretches now.
Don't do
it. Le-o-lam-go-loopy-loo.
You're hurting my ears with
this. This is a problem. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It is which episode, friends?
It's season three,
Jesse?
Episode two.
I'm not keeping track.
No, which episode of the podcast?
It's the least dangerous game.
No, which episode of the podcast?
148.
Very good.
I did it. I think that was the first time I've ever gotten it right.
Good job, Dan. Okay, so it's episode 148 of the podcast. We are going to be doing Lower Decks Season 3, Episode 2, The Least Dangerous Game, which is, of course, a takeoff of that old tale from, I think, 1926, The Most Dangerous Game, in which case a man gets shipwrecked on an island and gets hunted by a rich Russian fella.
I think there was a Conan that was like that.
Too. That story, variations on that story have appeared in many places, in media since.
Well, apparently there's a show that has Liam Hemsworth and Christoph Waltz.
Wow,
is that a version of that story?
According to IMDb, there's the most dangerous
IMDb's
games. There's a TV series from 2020 on, and it's got Zach Cherry, who was, he plays that guy that's always kind of nerdy. Oh. I don't know. You'd have to look
start
him up.
Huh? You know what people love on podcasts?
Zach Cherry.
This ASMR business. People love food on crinkling. Podcasts.
What kind of crinkling is that?
They love coughing.
They love coughing.
Food.
Coughing while you're crinkling
Man,
food.
That's some delicious.
This is how
crinkling.
We've gotten so popular. All right. So you'll have to pardon me just because I need a little
They don't
bit
like
of,
it when you're vaping for some reason. That dude
I,
was crazy.
I took a little too much podcasting medicine before we started, so
You got that podcasting
mess? I took a little too much, so I'm going to have a violet crumble. You all know what a violet crumble is?
Those are delicious.
Yeah, it's magic foreign. outside
of
the context
we're talking
of
the world now.
I quite
and,
like
and
those.
Through the internet, there is no foreign.
Delicious shattering candy.
The only foreign is anyone off the grid.
Hold on. I just need a quick bite of this, then we can get into the conversation
Jeez,
proper.
Flip.
Oh, yeah. You can hear it go.
Oh, my God. Oh, go. I'm sorry, I need some fucking chocolate. It's tough. It's tough business.
Better I start to talk when you're smoking. You sound like this when you're talking with a mouthful.
Where do you get that, Jinx?
I don't know.
Get
at the fancy candy store at the mall.
Eat the candy. And then you sound Randy Savage.
It's a sometimes treat because it's just like $5 or something.
Yeah, right.
American dollars.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Do they have that world market?
I don't know if they have it at World Market. World Market is good, but they might not be sophisticated enough for the old violet crumble.
Let me tell you one thing, dude.
Let me tell you one
No. Are you doing Randy Savage?
Well, that was sort of mixing it with Hulk Hogan a little
bit.
Yeah,
it was a bit of the Hulk.
Randy Savage sounds more like he's constipated.
He died of a heart attack, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, for shame. He sounds like he's trying to push out a poop Randy at Savage? All times.
Randy Savage died of a heart attack?
Yeah, he's trying to push out a poop. Randy Savage.
Or the Hulk died.
Ugh. Okay.
The Hulk's alive, brother.
Well, that's what I thought.
This might die. You
just don't hear about him.
There are other podcasts which are much more capable.
I snapped into one too many Slim Jims. Oh, yeah, and I died.
Wrestling. All
right. Yeah, right.
So, Star Trek.
May he rest in peace. I always liked Randy Savage.
I did too.
Amazing.
Star Trek Lower Decks. Another good episode. It's always so tricky. It's more fun when the episodes are all super shitty or goofy.
Yeah.
This was a really funny episode. There was all sorts of...
It was really good.
Lots of funny stuff.
It was really good. I don't have a particular outline for what we're going to discuss today. I figured, why don't we just dive in and just start chatting about what we liked. I think we all liked this episode, right? We all thought it was pretty good. What'd you think, Dan? Was it good?
I was A-okay in my book. I was a big fan.
All right. What were some of the things that jumped out at you? Preferably something that is a sort of a unique perspective, entertainingly conveyed.
Oh, man.
Ideally, given the context of this whole podcast thing.
She's a flip.
I'm just saying, any points that you might make...
What if you were going to make different points?
Given the option, I would personally prefer that they're highly entertaining and also incredibly insightful.
Can they just be thought-provoking?
Thought-provoking is fine. That's a very good option. If that's the best option among multiple options, that's a good option.
Well, this isn't thought-provoking, but it's a question. Is the Ferengi
black market tax,
that's a real thing. Is that from DS9
or
something?
Yeah, that's from...
There's a lot of DS9 in this episode.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not going to give too many spoilers from Deep Space Nine, but at a certain point in Deep Space Nine, there is a there's some reforms applied to the Ferengi business that still lets them be Ferengi, but with a little less awfulness, right? So, yeah, I think that is a reference to that.
It's really funny, the idea of taxing the black market.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It is. Ransom, the whole time, it kind of threw me off because the whole Ransom, like, him being, what's the word when you're not, when you're in, the whole Ransom sort of like doofy, incompetent kind of like, What was he? He kept saying, like, it's not a space elevator. It's a blah, blah, blah.
Or about a lift.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not blah, blah, blah. He did that somewhere else, too. It was, he said, it's not a space elevator. And he goes, I'm not fumbling, you know. And he's acting like this doofy doof doof. And he's putting on this mission.
Because he's not an engineer.
Right. Well, so he's putting him on this mission, right, that is totally stupid, right, because... Why would you send engineers to do the work of like politics and vice versa? And so what I was thinking like, oh, he's making us think he's stupid because he's actually doing something where he's trying to, because it was such a softball mission they were handed. I was like, oh, well, he must secretly be trying to like make them switch places just to like put them out of their comfort zone since it's like an easy mission.
Certainly, and was sort of semi-portrayed that way.
It was semi-portrayed that way because it was a little different because, and what was funny is because there was no secret reveal where he was like, actually, this whole time I was doing that on purpose. And what he did is he's like, okay, you got me. I was just trying to piss you off. So it was kind of along the same lines as, you know, doing some complicated switcheroo place. But it really, he was just trying to piss her off. And it was never like kind of revealed that he did this in sort of this climactic way. It's sort of like when everything fell apart. That's when he's like, okay, I was doing that.
Right.
So I like that because I'm glad that it wasn't a straightforward, just like he's totally dumb and that's all there is to the episode. I'm also glad that I wasn't able to sort of predict the way in which our expectations were going to be subverted, but they were only subverted slightly because he was still portrayed as this sort of doofy. I'm using the word doofy or not.
You are using the word doofy quite a bit.
I know.
He's kind of doofy.
I don't know how else to describe a Ransom.
It all fits
but
in,
like,
though.
You know, but it still shows that he is kind of like bumbling and stuff like that. But he does have some kind of plan, I guess, or something.
It does all fit in, though, with the characterization of not just Ransom, but most of the characters we meet on the Cerritos. Not all, but most of them. They're all highly competent, but also have significant flaws. Those flaws are what differentiate them from the crew of the flagship of the Federation, or the flagship of Starfleet,
the Enterprise.
Right? Yeah, it's like the Enterprise.
It's not the Enterprise.
We're used to people who are hyper competent,
not even Voyager,
along most dimensions, almost to the point where they don't have sufficient flaws, right, to make them interesting. And then other shows found different ways of introducing, you know, Deep Space Nine had lots of different alien characters and stuff. Voyager was able to stave that off. The Voyager was still super competent, but there's the Maquis.
They had gross phase aliens.
And they were, and they, yeah, the, they did. I don't know if you're referring to the Kazon or Neelix.
like just about everybody in the Delta Quadrant has like some Delta Quadrant gross like that gross
the clown episode. Wait, with Michael McKean.
Was it the Kazon the one that had the feather hair?
They had the crazy hair.
Yeah.
It apparently took forever to do. But returning to my point.
Yes.
On the Zeritos.
Back at the K Ranch.
As we've discussed in the K Ranch. Is that like the, where they grow ketamine?
Cranch.
Or Cranch. Just, Jesse got it.
Oh, okay. I see.
You thought that's from the. That's I from feel the really, you watch it with the captions. Then the captions. I watch it really it's K apostrophe written. Right.
I don't watch it with the captions.
I do it on the second time.
I'm old school.
No, the first time I watch it just straight up, and then the second time I
both
put the
times,
captions on.
No
if I watch
captions.
It on my phone, and I get the captions.
He's so old school that he watches the intro every single time.
I generally do watch the intro.
I generally every do time. As well, but I didn't this time. I mean, I skipped it.
I like the skip function sometimes.
But anyway, point is basically conveyed and concluded that the reminder, and this episode helps remind us that, you know, Mariner, Captain Freeman, Ransom, they are competent. All of them are competent, but they have these other flaws that hold them back a little bit. Or if you don't want to use the term hold them back, you can say whatever, guide them in a different direction than being at the quote unquote top of the fleet.
And I think it was a really good idea to set it up so that Mariner was going to be paired with, we mentioned this kind of already, but it's working out well already.
Yeah,
that
from this is a continuation from the first episode.
Where, yeah.
Where she's now under the wing, basically.
And the first introduction we had Ransom. To that was in season one, when, was it like the episode two or something where they went, or something where they went to the planet? And
there was that one where they're like, it was like the combat thing.
Yeah, where they were fighting each other to see who got to fight the big monster troll.
And so that's what, right. And so that's,
and in that one, Ransom also saved the day.
Yeah,
he was also being shitty, like, to Mariner in that episode.
Right. And then Mariner was surprised by his confidence. So they kind of laid the groundwork there, but that they're going more into it. It does two things. Like, one, it gets us to know Ransom more, which is kind of fun, because I've always wanted to sort of have a reason to see more of him.
Yeah.
And two, it does.
Hey,
it,
you did see more of him. Do you know what you saw of him?
His nipples?
His lava tubes.
Lava tubes.
Which,
that's right.
And please, audience, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And write into feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Are you going to say something perverted?
It's not I'm not going to call it perverted. I'm just saying when they made that comment at the end, I forget who it was, one of those people were talking about, like, look at his lava tubes.
The Delanians?
I have to presume, and again, forgive me, audience.
Oh, it was the baby.
Forgive me, audience. I have to presume the intention of the writers was they were saying lava tubes, but in our minds, they wanted us to think the term cum gutters.
What?
Right, exactly.
And apologies to the audience again, but cum gutters is a colloquial term.
Dan has never heard that.
I've never heard the term cum gutters.
Are you serious?
I've never heard the term.
My word.
Wow.
So I never made that connection.
You got to get to the gym there, Dan. Develop yourself some sexy lava tubes.
Oh, man.
I don't like that term personally. I do not mind
cum gutters.
Yeah, I don't mind if other people use it. To me,
is it supposed to be the vas deferens?
No, it's the abs.
It's not the literal.
And the lines to the.
Oh, it's not,
you know,
the. It's not the
muscle
the,
definition in the top of
okay.
the legs.
Anatomically, the cum gutter.
Oh, yeah. I see that. So it's not the actual, right? Like you just said, yeah, it's not the actual gutters they go through. It's where you put the fallout.
It's like
when
you're where
done.
The lava tube.
Yeah, and it creeps.
The lava
creeps
tubes
down.
And the rivulets of lava.
Okay. Wow. You know.
Or other. Stuff.
I'm totally gonna be on board with you
again,
with that one. That makes sense.
Apologies to the audience. But
no,
I believe this was the intention of the writers. And if so,
the writers.
Kudos to them.
The writers were writing out cum gutters.
All right. I apologize. I apologize for interjecting.
No, that was a good interjection. Oh yeah, the next I was going to say the next thing is because you were just talking about how each character has, you know, they're competent, but they have their flaws. And so this is one of those fun situations where you put two characters together where their flaws, they're both competent in different ways and they're flawed in different ways. They complement each other in this way that's really causes a lot of friction, though, mm-hmm. you know. So you wonder if there has to be some kind of relationship. It would seem like it would be more likely Mariner and Ransom. Well, but it doesn't even mean there has to be one. But I'm just trying to think, like, if shows tend to pair people up at some point. So I'm just trying to figure out who are they going to pair up first.
Well, and Michael McMahon, or Mike McMahon.
Maybe.
I think he goes by Mike, not Michael.
Vince McMahon.
He's probably one of those fellas that...
Welcome to the WWF. I'm Vince McMahon.
I think most people...
What's up, dude?
In the Western Hemisphere, certainly... have That's probably weird. Known somebody named Mike or Michael
or McMahon,
and if you have, they probably are are really serious about which one they prefer to be called, Mike or Michael. That's been my experience.
Or Mikhail.
One or the other is expected. Usually, they are not considered interchangeable.
When the Sega Genesis, I had Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, and when
you mean Mike Jackson?
See that in the when you rescued a kid, the kid would turn around and goes,
wait, what was this game about?
This is game.
Wait, get back up. Sorry, I know this is a Star Trek podcast,
Moonwalker,
but I gotta understand.
You never played Michael Jackson's Moonwalker for the Sega Genesis. Oh,
does he save kids in the video too?
He starts
that fight in the
Moonwalker.
In the bar.
Yeah. I think because the game is based on that short.
He's got them hook shoes,
and he saves kids. But this video game
uses those hook shoes.
This video game,
to moonwalk, but to do the lean.
This video game is all about him like dancing his way through levels to rescue kids.
And he just snatches kids along the way.
Well, there's kids behind doors. There's kids behind graves. There's all these kids everywhere. And you have to like find them.
I did not know about this game.
That was another level where you're like running through a cemetery and you're finding kids hidden behind graves. And so anyway, so when they popped out, they go, Michael. They didn't say Mike.
Of course not.
So it wasn't Mike Jackson.
Yeah. Well, so Mike McMahon has... explained in interviews that the writers do not intend to pair up at least our main characters, Tendi, Rutherford, Mariner, Boimler. Star Trek's not about romantic relationships. It's about a bunch of professionals getting into adventure.
But you think about like the whole Deanna Troi, Worf, Riker thing.
Which many people think aspects of those are flawed. At least the Worf,
and what about the Worf and double
Dax. A lot of people have double critiques about that. But the point being,
there wasn't a double Dax.
And we all know that Janeway and Chakotay made baby juice on that when they were stuck on that planet.
His lava
or
tubes.
Janeway and the other dude when they were lizards.
Well, that was straight up sex. But when Janeway and Chakotay. They were on a planet for a while together, and so you know they were doing something.
So this point is getting away from me a little bit, but I am not Mike McMahon. I do not have the pleasure of being or knowing Mike McMahon. However, if I were to interpret his statements, I think what he means to say is that the focus of Star Trek has never been romance, and that romance is included, it is for... at least hopefully good character and plot reasons, but not always. Sometimes
that's,
which is why often those romances were critiqued if they lasted more than an episode.
And that's why I don't want to go into this being like, oh, who's going to pair up? I don't want to start assuming who's going to pair up, but
I agree with you because I don't think that excludes other pairings up, right? We've already seen Mariner pairing up at least a little bit with Jennifer, right?
Jennifer.
And Boimler had
Jennifer
his girlfriend.
Jennifer was a red shirt.
I can't remember the name of Boimler's girlfriend, Mariner thought was a psychic monster or whatever. But the point being is
she had that, like,
that was
bug
played,
in her head.
That was played by Gillian Jacobs.
Gillian Jacobs.
It's pronounced Gillian.
It's pronounced Gillian.
It's pronounced Gillian.
Okay. I think she's going to get mad at you if
it's
you say it.
We're gonna Gillian. We're going to get comments now.
Yeah, and we will deserve them, and all of them are going to damn.
I know, I shouldn't be... What is it called when you don't call people by the name they want to be called? There's actually a term for that.
It's called being a piece of shit.
You get ostracized. That's
it's like
called.
You're a fucking dickhead.
I remembered her name was not as I would have expected it to be, and I would have expected it to be Gillian, so I chose Gillian. Because I was
that's
like...
That's because you're an iconoclast, and that has failed you in this instance.
It's failed me
in this particular instance.
I think what happened is...
Your default position is to think the ridiculous thing. thing.
Well, yeah, I think. Well, I think. Well, it's what happens.
Actually, the ridiculous thing's the real thing.
It's what happens a lot where I'm like, okay, it's the one you never guess that it's going to be, but I already know it's not the old one. I know it's the new one. So the one I was guessed it was going to be was going to be right because I already knew I had
Dan
to re-guess.
Was tricking.
Dan. So it's kind of like
Dan's getting into his vaudeville mode.
So well, that's so it's kind of like that scene in the Princess Bride where he's like, I know I can't drink the one in front of you because you know. He's like, I know that you know that I know that you know that it's Gillian.
That's a good impression of Wesley, a.k.a. the man in black. I know that you know. Mm-hmm. Or were you being Vicini? Wallace Shawn, a.k.a. Grand Nagus Zek. I'm bringing it back to Star Trek is what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we had
some... What was his character's name in Princess Bride?
Vicini.
Vicini, right. Yeah.
He's but in then that King was, of the Hill episode.
But then there was that other guy.
Yeah, he's great in that episode.
No, but he's great in everything.
There's that other
He's in Clueless. He's fantastic in Clueless. And that, Clueless is a fantastic movie.
There's
a fantastic version of that story.
There's a non-him person that says, I know that you know that I know that you know.
Robert De Niro in something?
It's one of those old guessing school. That. It's like some Abbott and Costello kind of thing or something. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, well, you don't. But, clearly you do not.
But yes, I was mixing them both together, but I was doing the thing where I was second guessing I was triple guessing, then quadruple guessing, because I kept expecting the other thing to have already guessed that I got it wrong in the first right. place. So I
dude, you are.
We have lost the plot here.
Okay. Gillian, Jennifer.
That doesn't even. It's not even relevant. All I was doing is.
You're talking about Jennifer.
I agree with you.
Jennifer was. Jennifer had a thing with Mariner.
Yeah, with the caveat that we can be fairly confident that we're not going to see much romantic entanglement between our four core characters, at least according to the producers.
No, and I wouldn't expect
that. That doesn't prevent all sorts of interesting, hopefully well founded within the characterizations of these folks we know, relationships with other people, either one-offs in an episode or some longer term thing.
I just don't want anyone to think that I'm all like romantic comedy crazy or something like that.
I don't think we're safe.
It's very important for me that people, I don't want people to think of me as a certain way. I want them to not think of me as a certain way.
All right, so
that's yeah,
what you should do then is make sure you're very clear, provide as much detail as possible.
That's what I do.
Yes, exactly. Just be very, very double check. You know, you should write blog posts. I don't know why you don't write follow-up blog posts to further, explore points that you
make. I always get embarrassed at what I write, so I always end up deleting it. All right. I repeat myself a lot because I'm trying to explain my point.
Yeah, but you could edit that out.
Edit it out?
That's the cool part about writing shit down. You can take it out.
But I also have a pack rat mentality, so I'll be like, every word is important, you know?
Just get over that.
That's
well,
nuts, dude.
Get over that. That if it were that easy,
I'll help you.
We'd all be breezy and cheesy, you know what
you
I mean?
You send me the writing and
I don't need that many words.
Put the red
words.
Lines on it. I'll be like doot 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 and I'll put like little comments
if it was,
on it.
He's going to say too many words.
If it was
it's like in Amadeus when William Faulkner. You know the Archduke was like too many notes. You know,
when
Salieri
yes,
was all
that.
Like, "Hey, there's too many fucking notes in this shit." This and Mozart guy, what's up with all these fucking notes?
There was some story about like I think it was either Paul McCartney or someone was playing bass with someone. They just said like, "Don't play too many notes" or something like that. But that's like bass players just not. It was some Beatles story or Paul McCartney story or something. Somebody coming on board and someone saying to something else, someone was going to play the bass, and the person said to that person, "Just don't play too many notes."
Oh, they got like Stu Sutcliffe.
How about this?
Or whatever.
How about
maybe.
This?
Look.
What's the next point about Star Trek?
Look, I'm just saying it's
Lower Decks, season 3, episode 2.
Like you were saying, just don't be that way. If it were that easy, we'd all be breezy and cheesy.
All right. So Star Trek.
I always like it when
Jesse's
there's
coming in with a point. That's
when
excellent.
There's Klingon based jokes.
Yes.
And when there's like and it's part of like in world pop culture. I really that's you know one of my favorite bits when they it happens. It seems to happen a lot in Lower Decks. There's lots of Klingon jokes.
I regret that I cannot remember the user's name, but there was a very interesting comment on Reddit where they noted that. One thing that's interesting about Lower Decks is because we're not seeing the elite people on the crazy super missions, we're seeing a lot more interaction with pop culture the contemporary pop culture of the 24th century, right? It's not that we were devoid of it in other series, but it was usually just hinted at, and our officers were not able to, you know, the main characters usually were not able to do, you know, whatever. We're seeing a lot more of this.
They're lame-os.
This in-universe, like the Zebulon sisters is a great example, and various stuff that happens at the star bases
they're talking about Klingon music in one episode. There's some episode where there's
Klingon
like
punk rock.
There's that Klingon
acid punk
band.
Punk. It was Klingon acid punk.
That's right.
It translates to like sex phasers or something.
Like whatever sex pistols.
Yeah.
Well, the game they were playing was called Batliths and Binux.
Yeah, right.
Which is cowards.
Yeah,
in Klingon.
Is it pronounced Binuck or Binuck?
Binux. I don't know.
And then there were some letters below that I just couldn't understand what was going on there. That was just straight up in Klingon.
Oh, and the idea that you know, they've got Martok, voiced by the original actor.
Yeah, Hertzler.
Yeah, J.G. Hertzler.
He grew up around our area.
It Hertzler is so
oh,
good.
Oh, he grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. J.G. Hertzler had already been on Lower Decks playing a different character. He was playing one of those alien captains.
Oh, that's right. Does he play Cranch too?
No, that's Jay North. Is it Jay North? You know, that he's a prominent voice actor.
It makes sense that they, you know, the Ferengi, I guess, would try to
have a knockoff of his
voice. But it's funny thinking the idea of thinking like Ferengi's like imitating Martok and Gowron.
Well, they probably did it with a computer algorithm.
He was trying to get the Gowron expansion.
But it's important to note for those
aren't
aware.
There was that DS9 episode where they could just recreate voices with computer algorithms.
I mean, we can do it. We can just do it today.
It's a fake.
It's a fake.
Right. Yeah, spiralizing, what's it called when
spiralized?
You know when
you're talking about
when you make something up that's fake and
the word you just made up.
You mean spurious?
No, I was thinking like when you fabricate. Yeah, well, they didn't fabricate like that's not the word I'm looking for. But instead of doing audio, which they can do, they did a whole.
You're looking for words that don't exist.
They did a whole holodeck recreation.
Yeah. No, you were right the first time. Spiralizing. But the game is fun, but we do need to point out that this is commenting and sort of parodying a real life Star Trek VCR based game, right? Yeah. So back in the olden days, I guess we got to start first.
Those are miserable.
There used to be a thing called a VCR, and that you could play video cassettes, and you could also record.
There was a whole
video
war between movies. There was a whole war between two standards. Now we have wars with all standards, but back then the VCR versus Betamax war was for real.
And VCRs, there were the VCR games. I actually had one that was a murder mystery game. It had a board and everything, and I had this little button you pushed that would make some sounds, but then you push the VCR and you would have to, it would, depending on which choice you made the game would be like, all right, fast forward 1 minute. And then you'd have to like be like,
that's hilarious.
It was hilarious. And so there was a Star Trek game that had this, and it had Robert O'Reilly. He wasn't playing Gowron. He was playing a very Gowron-like Klingon. You can find clips of this on YouTube. And so this is mimicking that. It's mimicking Dungeons and Dragons. It's mimicking the other various sort of hex-based role-playing games.
The first hex-based game I played was BattleTech. I remember that was a lot of fun. But the VCR game I played was some game where you were like flying around in this dogfight and you were supposed to aim the gun at the screen and shoot it. But it wasn't like a normal video game where if you hit someone, they fell down because it's a VCR. What it would do is the screen would go blank for like a frame and they would put like a red dot over the thing. So the thing wasn't actually changing.
Yeah.
It would just blank out the screen and put a red dot to where you shot to like make it so it wouldn't register your hit. You'd have to be like, I got it, you know.
And they actually did back in the 90s have a video. They made a video D&D thing.
I bet it was super
campy and shitty.
I don't believe I ever saw it, but I think it was more like it may have been on a disc, I think. I think it was still VCR actually. I think it was still VCR.
Regardless, this little game mechanic, this use of this Klingon game had just so much wrapped into just such a brief amount of thing. It was just so much wonderfulness, a great way to bookend the episode and to also, in a low stakes way, generate some of this conversation between Boimler and Tendi about Tendi's just saying, why don't you try new things? And of course, Boimler takes it way too far.
Right.
And this is the only episode where they are paired together like that. And then, Mariner and Rutherford are sort of on the other
side. Semi-paired together.
Right. It's the sort of classic scenario of like, you got this uptight person who, by the way, I can relate to Boimler in that I need like at least 3 days notice before I can go hanging out with someone, which is in stark contrast to high school where I was trying to like look for any chance I got to leave the house at a moment's notice. Yeah, right. But now, not 3 days is an exaggeration, but it's hard for me to like someone's
it's
like...
It's not an exaggeration for me.
Okay.
I might be underestimating it.
Well, in any case, we will talk about that another time. We'll talk about that off air. We're on air right now. Off feed. Whatever. What was I saying? Oh yeah, I was talking about, so it's this idea of being more spontaneous is definitely something I can relate to. But yeah, like you said, he does the whole, and this is a sort of classic where he's like, okay, I'm super organized. Now I'm going to be organized about not being organized, you know? And
because then Boimler takes everything to the max.
And then Tendi's just like, or just moderate. And, you know, it doesn't have to be. It's like, don't make yourself a prey to this fucking
Cranch.
Cranch, but Cranch was, there was a certain type of, I'm going to look it up.
Oh yeah, the
Captain Bendo.
I forget the name of the people. The
subswibalize.
How about this? Let's take a quick break, and boom, when we get back, Dan will tell us what the name of the alien that was hunting Boimler was, and we'll talk a little bit more about that particular storyline because that was a fun one. All right, we will be right back.
Back.
Are we back now?
Back. That sounds like violent crumble.
Oh, some violent crumble. Mm, so good.
Sounds delicious.
Mm.
I got to get me some of that.
Okay. Before we start, I know my mouth is filled with sticky chocolate and honeycomb.
Don't take my mouth with sticky chocolate and honeycomb.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that I recently...
Picnic basket?
The same week this episode comes out, I was a guest on the Green Shirt podcast.
Oh, snap.
Talking about the next phase.
We
all talked about a while back, so you can listen to our episode if you like, but definitely check out Green Shirt episode number 100 something on the next phase. It was a really fun time. I really appreciated them inviting me to join them. It was a super, super excellent, good conversation. So
were you just about to say, listen to it on, and then you were going to mention like a radio station on 107.3, but then you changed to like on the subject that they were talking about.
You know, load up your podcast devices and type in Green Shirt.
It's on the internet.
It'll come right up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have said that. We talk about it on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're on the internet.
Yeah. Way to go. Green Shirt podcast. Right. Kick ass.
Check it out. It was fun.
You do it. It's good shit right there. It's either Venerix or Venarix. I think it's Venerix.
What, the name of the alien race?
The K Ranch, yeah.
No, it was more complicated than that.
No, he's Venerix.
No, it was definitely more complicated.
He was like
Kree Soptoids.
I'm glad he found someone to partake in his Venerix hunt.
No, I think it was a veterans hunt.
No, it's Venerix hunt.
Yeah, but that's not the name of the people. That's definitely not the name of the species.
Okay, first of all, you just backpedaled. You said it was the veterans hunt.
That's how I heard it, but I'll believe it if I heard that wrong. But I know I didn't hear the name of the people wrong. So we're gonna do some live Googling here.
Oh man!
That's the lifestyle we live. I typed in Cranch Memory Alpha. Cranch. The first option is Ranch Memory Alpha. A ranch was a typical type of farm particular to the ancient West.
Oh, okay.
In 2153, Jonathan Archer claimed that his brother had a ranch west of North Star. Least dangerous game. All right. I guess they don't have a Cranch entry yet.
It's K Ranch.
Know. It's K Ranch. That's why you're not pronouncing it right. That's why you can't find it.
Oh, come on. This is going to be
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. Right. Oh, come on. Is this like a really exciting way to do the thing?
I don't think there's anything exciting about this.
Are we? Because I'm Googling, too. Memory Alpha, you're shooting a bunch of shit on my screen. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, that's a problem. If you don't have the, ad blocker, a Memory Alpha is Great resource of information, a terrible place to go.
An alpha blocker.
To avoid ads.
I think they didn't mention his race directly, which is why I sort of assumed it's Venerix, because it's their hunt.
I remember his quote, but unfortunately I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
What race, what species, we should say, what species is Cranch?
This is really edge of your seat stuff.
Meet Cranch, the latest Heinz condiment mashup.
Yeah, of course. From, so like Crunchy Ranch?
From 2019.
Ketchup, oh, yeah, ketchup, you're right.
Do ketchup and ranch belong together? America has apparently said yes.
It's fine with me, but I'm staying clear of that.
All right. Okay, so we're just not going to be able to deal with this in any sort of reasonable and or entertaining way.
I think that guy's really funny, and like, because he's all super monstrous, and, but he's like, it's like super cartoony. He like just keeps bouncing around like about to catch Boimler, and like Boimler keeps.
So here's the deal. One of my favorite things about watching this episode the second time through was that I noticed that before we even deal, you know, Boimler's talking to Tendi in the bar, you can see Cranch in the background talking to people and they're like listening and they keep shaking their head or saying like, oh no, you know, you can see them mouthing like no thanks or something. He's just going around asking every single person.
That's why he's super,
I didn't clock that either.
Yeah, he was just walking to every person hanging out in that bar asking if he could hunt them. And then he finally came up to Boimler just as Boimler had determined that he was going to say yes to whoever the next person was.
That's on the level of like just propositioning random strangers, you know?
Yeah.
Really, it's just, but they're just
well, how else are you going to do it?
I guess you're right. It's what he's got to do.
You're gonna hunt somebody you know.
So I was. It's funny in well, you know,
hunt
you
someone
could
that you used to know.
I because in Star Trek and all and sci-fi shows in general, they'll show like tons of these alien types, right? And you don't get to different species, and you don't get to learn more about a lot of them for good reason. They're just there to, you know.
For good reason.
No, I'm just
saying, don't need any of that scum.
No, the point being is that that's what, you know, it paints a tapestry of the kind of world you're in, and there's no reason to like make someone different just so you can interact with them. It's nice to have sort of like a more integrated it's nice to have that integrated part. So anyway, that's not the point. Point is Cranch was lumbering about in the background at the beginning. And like you said, he was talking to people and they were shaking their head. Well, I didn't put that together, but he did catch my eye at the beginning. I was like, I hope they like, we focus in on this guy some more and they don't just let him walk by because he looks awesome. And then they did. And I was really happy.
And then he took off his helmet and he looked even more awesome.
Yeah.
And when he's leaving after the agreement,
he's skulking away.
Slinking backwards.
So he pulled out his tooth.
Yeah.
And like put it across Boimler.
Smeared his own blood across.
Smeared on his head, which was intense. And then when he was hunting Boimler, it looked like he pulled a spike out of like one of his spikes out of his body So he was ripping his body parts like to do this hunt. This dude was fucking intense. It was.
And he had that funny selfie stick camera thing.
Yeah.
They took a picture of Boimler.
Yeah. I like the whole, how they all compared it to, fishing, you know, basically
catch and release.
Right, yeah.
And it's like this idea. It's like, oh, it's okay, catch and release. And then Boimler at the end is like, my shoulder will never be quite the same. Yeah. But it's kind of funny.
Well,
they respect life, but they're like maiming it.
Two things. First of all, I like that ending because from the beginning, we know Boimler's not going to actually die. This guy's not going to kill Boimler. That's reinforced when Captain Freeman is initially like going to stop it, but he's like, oh, it's that guy? Yeah. Oh, don't worry. So clearly,
she had a lovely brunch.
He's like, thanks for the mimosa. Which is, again, on the page, that sounds silly, but performed, it just worked out.
And idea that this creature is going to brunch of all meals. Yeah. Like, they're going to brunch.
But at the same time,
well, it's a California class ship.
Whoa, that's intense.
Whoa, gnarly.
When in Rome,
who else would have a brunch? They don't have brunch on the Enterprise.
Yeah, they got a Circle K on the Cerritos.
Do they?
No, I'm just saying because you know California. I know they got Circle K's everywhere. You know, for people.
Do they have a Ralph's?
Yeah, they might have a Ralph's.
Ralph.
They got those in California too.
What is Ralph's?
You can buy liquor at Ralph's.
Yeah, Ralph's is
like a convenience store.
You can buy liquor all hours of the night at Ralph's.
But the part I liked about the Boimler mentioning his shoulder thing, I actually found that very sort of poignant in the sense that the way they played it was he's got a like a battle wound, right? He's got like an experience wound. That's partly why I think he wasn't so like put off by it. He's like, okay, it's kind of cool. I have a reminder of this weird little adventure I had, which did ultimately benefit him. If I had one minor, tiny little critique of this episode, and I don't even think it really qualifies as a critique, it's that like I wasn't sure which side we were supposed to take. Were we supposed to take Tendi's side and think she was saying Boimler was going too far, and what she was saying was logical. But on the other hand, the way the episode plays out, all of Boimler's actions, right, including being hunted by Cranch, benefited him both in terms of his own self-confidence and in terms of advancing his career and relationships with others.
Right, because they had to... They escalated it really quickly to the point where it's like, oh no, you said yes too many times. Even Tendi's like freaking out, and it was humorous, and you knew, like you said, you knew he wasn't gonna die, but he doesn't die, and then they never actually escalated to a point where he's something bad actually happens, and like you said, this, you could consider this something bad that happened, but it like, yeah, he not only survived it, he was all into it. You know?
And it was a funny way to end it in terms of like, you know, again, he wasn't going to die. We didn't expect he was going to die, but he didn't figure out a way out through some clever plan of his. He didn't get saved by some outside party. Nobody was really taking it seriously anyway.
He was wearing a bowl on his head at the end when he was like, he's the hunter. The hunted is becoming the hunter. And like, he was wearing some bowl on his head.
Which, by the way, excellent.
They always become the hunter.
Excellent line when Cranch was giving him notes.
Notes.
It's like, dude.
Stick and move.
Dude, yeah, stick and move.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to like just announce it. So Boimler learned something then.
Yeah, that is great. It's he described it, what Boimler should have done, you know, figuratively, like a stick and move. It's like, don't just come out and say it, you know.
Stand there.
You just figuratively, you know, whatever.
So what other parts about this particular subplot, which I guess is basically the B plot of the episode?
Well, there was
the Shax part.
The Shax part. So right.
We have the saddest dirges. In
they're
quadrant.
All crying. Dirge choir. Everyone's crying at the end. Shax is like, "Wow, that was great." You know,
Boimler was totally tearing up.
I like that. We need a soprano for our like depressing dirge, which is kind of funny. But yeah, dirge choir.
After that was, what's that guy's name? Lundy, right?
So,
that creepy guy? We've seen him before. He was being all shitty to Orion's in the season two episode.
So in both cases, they had him play spring ball. They said, we need a wiry dude. And then Lundy wanted to have him painted because he was like, we need a skeletal frame. They could, this mom. So those are the three.
That was weird.
So those are the three things Boimler got from this.
That guy's also creepy.
Yeah, so... The three things they got is he got made a connection with Shax. He got a battle wound.
Shax still owes him a favor.
That's
pretty good.
I bet will come up again.
Yeah, that's what I was about going to ask. Is like, will that come up again? We know that the thing was sort of resolved with Cranch.
Cranch. You mean the Heinz combination of ketchup and ranch?
I thought it was going to be crunchy ranch. I would prefer that.
Just like ranch with big chunks in it.
Yeah, like big chunky peanut butter. Chunks of ranch.
like when you squirt it out the bottle, it's all like
chunks of ranch Doritos.
It's gone bad.
Could be ranch Doritos.
Yeah,
just balls of ranch.
Balls of put a bunch of Doritos in there, though. That would be good.
See, that's a better idea. I was thinking croutons.
You could have ranch soup.
Croutons made out of Doritos.
You could make ranch soup with just ranch dressing and crumbled up Doritos and eat it with a spoon.
You lost me. Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't want ranch soup?
No, I don't.
How about ranch cereal? Just call it cereal then. Okay, so.
Just call that. Soup cereal.
Just call it cereal. Just take a shit in your hand and call it cereal.
So take a shit in my hand.
Hope that's crunchy.
It's crunchy. Cranch and Shax both have this similar intensity. But back to my point.
They're warriors, man.
Anyway, back at the Cranch.
I
stole your
joke. You did it in an appropriate spot, though. I just kind of shoved it in there. Nice and good. Gross. So that sort of like, oh yeah, Boimler feels better about himself. But what did he really get from Lundy? He's less creeped out by Lundy? Is that pretty much all he got? He's like, now I'm less creeped out by Lundy. It's not like he didn't get a connection.
I don't think he's less creeped out by him.
I know, but that was what he was saying at the end. He's like, I got to know Lundy. I think there was some kind of reference to finding Lundy less creepy.
It could be. I missed it.
Okay, he goes, okay, the line goes, I've been saying yes to everything today, getting way outside my comfort zone. And so far, Shaq says he owes me a favor. I'm not afraid of Chief Lundy anymore. And dot, dot, dot. Okay. So he's not.
All right, so
that's the best he got from Lundy. Lundy was he's not like afraid of him anymore. Now, is that something that could come up later? Could Lundy now play more of a role in the show, maybe?
Maybe Lundy will be a predator to someone else and he'll have to.
You mean prey?
Stop him.
Or will Lundy become a prey or predator?
I think he will stay.
He's already a predator. Yeah. He is a predator, all right. So, when Cranch was sniffing that candle and it made his eyes like fill with blood, was he doing some? I can only imagine that candle was filled with some kind of like speed and hallucinogenic or something. There was some kind of alien.
Magical.
Yeah, there drugs. Was some kind of drug that pumped you up before a hunt and like made you super super awesome.
By the way, I finally discovered that the species that Cranch is a member of is called the Crumsapioids.
I bet it's Crumsapioids.
Crumsapioids.
How do you spell that?
Which planet do they
Crumsapia? Crumsapia? I don't know.
Sloppy? Come gotcha. Come gotcha.
Lava tubes.
Come slap you, yeah? Come sloppy gotcha, yeah?
Kamchatka.
It's spelled Krumsapioids. Because I recall...
I bet it's Crumsapioids.
Crumbopulus Michael?
It's not Crumsapioids.
Melmac?
It's Crumsapioids. Hey, Melmac! Hey, Melmac! You got any cat? Sorry. Crumsapioids.
Yeah.
He's from Jesse Crunsopolis.
You got the elf cue much quicker on this episode.
I did. I picked up. Jesse, you remember Jesse Crunsapioid from Full House?
Oh, man.
Anything else about this particular storyline that stands out?
Let me think.
Things that make you go...
I like how dickish he was to that jockey dude who was invited him to spring ball. He's like, you're a bunch of balls, he was pretty dickish. Yeah, that's like that kid in middle school who's trying to fit in and can't and just ends up like alienating everyone and then wondering like why nobody likes him.
Well, I will be interested to see where Boimler goes after this, because the episode concluded with him remaining determined to be the bold Boimler. So
yeah, I mean that probably will pass.
I'm sure, but maybe in subtle ways.
But you don't know with this show. One thing I like is more shows start to do this thing. I feel where they I mean, because in stark contrast to like the classic 80s, 90s sitcom formula where every week was something just totally different. It was all you had in common was the same characters. Maybe Jesse might move out of the house in Full House, and that was the most sort of character development you really get.
Did he just move up to the attic or whatever?
You're right. He did just move up with Becky. He
didn't even move out of the house.
Yeah, he just moved to the attic with Becky. And do we really have to do this? Jesse, I'd be mad if I were you because Patrick gave you shit for doing that. I'm trying to stir the pot.
You want a piece?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I'll break off a piece for you.
I don't want your SARS.
All right. No, I mean
SARS.
I'll get the end bit. You want the butt of my violet crumble?
Well, when you put it that way, no.
Okay.
Thank you though. Thank you for the offer. That's very nice of you.
The issue is, look, I don't want to upset the podcast audience with sounds of eating.
That was a sound of you swallowing just then.
Yeah. And I'm messing up my vocal quality by
having honeycomb, a bunch of honeycomb and goo.
But it's really fucking good.
You have
never had anything those like this. The honeycomb is all I've had puffy that. And
those
stuff.
Are really good.
Yeah, I've had those. Oh my God.
It's like future candy.
I like those.
it's like Star Trek candy.
I like those Kinder chocolate things though more, I think. Those are good.
But those aren't quite as specialist.
I don't know. Crumble. I like those Kinder chocolates.
If you're not into violet crumble, you might try a crunchy.
I like goopy chocolate bars.
Okay. Okay, now I know what to get for your birthday.
Grow up, dude.
All right.
Grow up, dude. How about... Wait. So I was just saying that I feel you never know what they're going to bring back and what they're not. And that's cool because they might bring it back with more new Boimler, but they might just forget it. You don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. It keeps you guessing.
It does keep you guessing.
It's like the evolution of the wrestling world where we always knew it was fake. And then in the future, they admitted it was fake. But then like real life stuff would sometimes get sort of like real life dramas would like there was two wrestlers that in real life.
Like the guy who murdered his family?
No.
Do you mean the guy who fell from the rafters and died?
Oh my God, don't be an asshole.
That's real life. That's real life stuff.
No, that's
that
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there was one where there's these two wrestlers and they were both, one was like,
this is a very wrestling heavy podcast.
Oh yeah, brother. So there was one wrestler and he was dating this girl and they were together forever and they loved each other. But then that other girl
forever.
The storyline
was it Bam Bam Bigelow?
No, the story. He was the most agile big man in all of wrestling. They broke up. The girl cheated on him with another guy who was another wrestler, and they worked that into the plot line where it was like they'd actually like they
so it
turned
happened in real life.
Yeah,
you're confident that it happened in real
yes,
life.
Yes, this is a famous sort of okay. event. Unless you know the thing is they might be bringing their story into real life and making
what's
it everyone...
real.
Yeah, exactly. It's fake.
It's real.
It's fake. anyway,
why don't we move along? Move along home.
It's just the point is you never know what's going to happen, and that's what's fun.
Okay,
that's one of the many things that are fun.
Yes,
man.
Yeah. So,
okay,
let's
I'm done.
Let's talk about Mariner's side of things. The A plot.
I really liked when Mariner was like skydiving down the orbital lift. That was really nice animation. It looked really cool. It was like some kind of updated like Wile E. Coyote or something.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it.
Oh, there was that other episode when Tendi, there was where Tendi looked like a Warner Brothers character. I remember in season one where Mariner's always like, yo, he's got to be so cheerful all the time. Sometimes things shit sucks, blah, 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 blah. And Tendi's like, sorry. And it was weird. That episode has this weird Bugs Bunny kind of look to it. But
and
trying to
each
remember what
season they
was,
improve
season
on. The animation started out great, but each season, Titmouse, which I believe is the animation studio that handles...
It's not Teensy Fly?
No, I think it's Titmouse.
Teensy Fly.
It's not Titicaca?
Mount Titicaca or Lake Titicaca?
Lake Titicaca. I don't think there's a mount.
Probably not.
It's a plain Titicaca.
Yeah. There's that bird that's called like a great tit.
Yeah, great tit. It's some great tit.
Okay. What was I saying?
Proper tits.
Oh, we were talking about...
Oh, yeah, the animation is good. Titmouse is doing a good job with this...
When
animation.
Yeah, when...
When she was sleeping was
when
even
when she was
better.
Sleeping and her arms all waggled
they're
around.
All flapping.
That reminded me of something. I'm trying to put my finger on it. Maybe it was... The way their arms were all flapping around reminded me of some other cartoon.
Was it
a
cartoon. I was worried it was going to be one of those horrific...
No, I don't watch
YouTube
those.
Videos where somebody passes out while skydiving or something.
No, I don't watch videos where people's bones fall apart and things like that.
you don't watch videos about people with osteoporosis.
Oh, I mean,
bones fall apart. What are you talking about?
You know, when you get two kickboxers that kick at each other's shins and then
their leg gets all floppy. What about the hand?
You gotta take your vitamins.
Do you like the hand surgery nauseous. Videos? Like
no, hand of course surgery? Not. Of course not. Right. What's wrong with you?
I'm just exploring the contours of your life.
I am fascinated by people that are not bothered by it. I simultaneously respect and frightened of them. So
there are different types of people in the world. I remember when my daughter was maybe 3-4 years old. She asked us what the inside of a cat looked like. And I think she proceeded to watch some veterinary videos that were showing, you know, like gallbladder surgery or something,
and that satisfied it.
Oh, that's right, because she was all into like stuff with monsters. And,
oh,
like,
she still is.
All sorts of. Like...
I just imagine that's kind of question you get where like, let's hope she finds out and leaves it at that.
No, but when you have a child and they start asking questions like that, there are only really two options from that point. They can either become a surgeon, which is a legal psychopath, or they just become a regular old on the street psychopath.
Right.
Either way is fun.
You got to guide that psychopathy in the correct direction to benefit society in some fashion.
Well, it's like, I think...
Well, I mean, it's just, how do you define benefit?
A lot of like business...
Jesse's over here arguing that serial killers perform an important function in society.
Well, when when you lead a powerful company or you lead an army or something like that, there's got to be some amount of sociopathy or psychopathy as well. There's some kind of thing there's where you're able to make these maneuvers and
Jesse's like, yeah, he's just a cheeky guy.
He's got personality.
But in order
killed all those civilians. What just, a cheeky
you
fella.
If you want to like do some shit like that, you really have to like turn the empathy off because.
Yeah, although there are examples, at least fictional examples, and again, bringing you back to Star Trek. We don't see that as much in Star Trek. They occasionally show that. They occasionally show the maniacal or megalomaniacal captain or admiral or whatever.
Megalomaniacal.
But yes. So the Mariner / Ransom / Rutherford / Billups storyline was...
We don't see much of Stevens lately.
Yeah, Stevens. You don't need to. He's just there to not be yet. Like the we'll obsequious sort of brown noser.
Which two episodes in? We'll see him.
Which is the one that is emotionally fragile? That's Stevens, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
was Stevens the one?
He's
that,
always sucking up to Ransom.
Because I remember, and so I remember at the beginning of the series, at season one, I was like, which one's Billups? And there was an I couldn't remember.
There
which,
was one episode where it was confusing. Yeah,
and I couldn't remember who Billups was the
has hair.
Yeah.
Which one was the
and a big old dong?
And I'm trying to remember which is the one they mentioned.
From the episode where we met his mommy.
Right. So I'm trying to remember which one they mentioned first, if it was Billups or and they didn't mention Stevens till later or
well,
if it was
I
the
think
other
we
way
saw
around.
Stevens first.
You saw him, but he wasn't a thing. Mm. He was just there to confuse you.
So so Billups has been brought more to the forefront than Stevens. There's a Billups and Stevens sort of battle that's going
on.
Well,
Billups is he's the main engineering guy. Yeah. Paul Scheer does such a great job with the character.
I mean, I don't mean that there's a battle within the show. I mean, like, when I see Billups and Stevens, in my mind, there's some kind of character battle of who's going to win the most prominence. And I think Billups is definitely winning right
you
now.
You know what my advice is there, Dan? Fella. You know what my advice is there? Get over it. Just
why?
Stop thinking that way.
If they were that easy.
Why don't you think about something else?
We'd all be peasy and sleazy.
Yeah, we would indeed. All right. Anything else? I mean, obviously, there's other stuff to say about this storyline. We talked about the parachuting.
Talked about the parachuting.
We already discussed
telepathic baby.
Ransom's
evil
sort of
computer,
whole thing.
Sentient volcano.
I did enjoy this planet they went
computer,
to.
Sentient computer.
There's a sentient volcano.
There's a sentient god volcano.
The computer talks.
Yes,
I know it is. Volcano. No, but it's not. They only referred to sentience for leader 355, which was the computer. They didn't.
There was a line about the sentient volcano.
No, they said a sentient computer. They did not say sentient
they
volcano.
They did earlier on. Weren't sure who was
in when they didn't
charge.
Know about the psychic baby or the computer, they referred to a sentient
volcano.
Okay,
fine. Maybe they did, but they settled on...
Yeah, you looked it up on Chakotay.net or whatever.
But the volcano...
What's that website you always use?
It's a
the volcano did speak, so...
They said... Well, the older episodes are on Chakotay.net.
But the new ones
are on some shitty transcript thing that works but isn't as good. Okay, but what they settled on, because they were like... They were talking about... Ascension, but they were talking about some other, they were talking about like a telepathic baby, but what they settled on was Mendrink, the psychic baby.
Yes.
Psychic baby.
And they said leader 355 of the sentient computer, and then they referred to the volcano was volcanic lord Morgo.
Yeah.
Which was essentially a volcano spirit, but you're right, they did say earlier. So the question is like, you know, which is which? I would think the volcano would be kind of like the president leader kind of role. Which would be the legislative branch?
What was the line? It's like, it provides a system of checks and
exactly,
balances.
Exactly.
It's like, but how exactly?
Yeah,
is it like 2 out of 3 or something?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I know. So they must have had their different roles. But I like that because, right, every planet, there's always some like one leader, you know, of these sort of despotic
it was fun.
Planets.
And they were combining so many things here because these... what they were called?
That was funny too.
Delonians or something like that.
They had
and the marking was like the symbol on the computer.
Yes, yes.
Like that like naval marking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because
they were all about navals.
Yeah, they got in trouble because they didn't show their navel, and then they referred to the volcano as like the navel of the planet, and so they didn't outright say it.
In extra trouble because Billups had an Audi belly button.
Yeah.
Right, and so they didn't just make it random. They actually brought it home when they mentioned that the navel. So they had this weird.
But the other thing going on with the Delonians, or whatever they're called, the Dyson Spherians,
the
DeLoreans.
The
DeLoreans. It's the Dulanians.
They were similar to those people, you know, when Wesley Crusher falls into the garden.
Yes, of course.
Because they're all like friendly and kissing people.
Mm-hmm. They're all like in shape.
There's a wellness-based society.
Yeah, I know. It was a funny idea. And it was with the mariner having to climb that rock wall. The rock wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly, but also it worked within that culture. That was all fun. The animation was great. Taking advantage of the world building they can do with the, I noticed most of this in the second watch in particular. You see it in the first watch, but you're paying attention to the story in the second watch. You can appreciate how detailed and gorgeous like the backgrounds are and the matte paintings and all the stuff that's going on at the same time. All these characters, like each character you look at is doing something sort of cute or amusing. Mm-hmm. If you start paying attention to things other than what the main characters are doing.
Yeah. Speaking of Mariner falling off the thing and going back up the thing. So she had a groany episode where she kept groaning the whole episode. And she did this like open mouth Charlie Brown style. Yeah. She was like,
Well, it was also sort of Calvin and Hobbish. In similar circumstances.
Right. So she had this quiet groan when Ransom tells Billups and Rutherford not to have too much fun. He's like, don't have too much fun. She's kind of like, ugh. But then when Billups and Rutherford call back and Rutherford's like, I just might have to get a transfer again. She's like, ugh. Yeah. And then she, before she jumps off the space elevator, she's like, ugh. And then when she finds that climbing wall, she's like, God, it's wellness-based society. And then like, it was funny when she got to the top, Ransom is just so like,
he had to go visit the little commander's room.
He's so self-centered or something, or narcissistic, or I don't know. He didn't notice that she's like there, like sweaty and panting and just like going, he was like, let's go. Ha ha. I don't notice that anything's wrong. You're all sweaty everywhere. But then she gave another groan. She's like, ah. So she's been doing a lot of groaning.
He's supposed to be keeping an eye on her. And he's just like, he wasn't.
No, because he's
he was in the bathroom for a while. So I presume he was doing a commander's poopy.
Yeah, but he's also just a very self-centered.
Number one was taking a number two.
He's just number one. I order you to take a number two.
He was having a number one's number two.
So he was just he's a really selfish, self-centered kind of. That's
a good explanation for that. I'll buy into that
for a dollar.
So the psychic baby had a funny voice. I'm not sure exactly what that was parodying, except maybe like Baylock.
The carbamite maneuver.
I'm just not 100% sure.
It sounds so like just like a generic kind of thing.
They had plenty of computer planets. TOS had like two episodes that had computer planets.
There was a previous Lower Decks where they had the
with Jeffrey Combs
computer, Jeffrey Combs computer, and they put him on the like the jail planet
with all the other sentient
computers. there was the recent Strange New Worlds episode, of course, that this wouldn't have been able to base itself off that. It would be too close to it. But when they had the episode where
you have not provided enough clues.
You know where the
waiting.
Dan's making weird globe-like shapes with his hand.
I'm trying not to be to reveal too much about the episode.
You don't want to spoil an episode of Strange New Worlds.
It was the young person that was the lead that was like destined to become the leader of that planet.
Okay.
Oh.
How does that compare to this episode?
Because we're talking about like where did the baby come from, and so this is kind of like that, except it's a baby.
Okay.
It's the baby, but it's not a baby. The young person was not a baby in the Strange New World episodes. But and I'm just thinking that it just kind of like one of those things that it seems tropey, right? It seems like you'd have like some kind of psychic weird like baby
psychotropy
psychotropy. Anyways, so you were saying the computer was from some stuff, and then you were saying. Joe versus the Volcano.
Which is a good movie.
Aww. That's a really good movie, actually. It's surprisingly good.
I believe it did not do well in the theaters.
No, it's so weird.
I saw it in the theater.
It's a bizarre movie.
Early Tom Hanks, for those who have not made the effort.
At this point, I guess that is early.
Appreciate it. Money Pit's not as good a movie as Joe the Volcano, but it's entertaining.
Money Pit is really entertaining. Joe versus the Volcano is
an interesting fucking movie.
Yeah, after I watched it, I'm just kind of like, I don't know exactly what I watched or got out of that. But it was really interesting.
Very interesting.
It had like twists and turns in it.
Yeah. It was cool.
All right. So So that concludes
next time we're going to talk about Joe versus
the Volcano.
So you only mentioned two Tom Hanks movies. There's also the, was it The Bachelor? Or no, that was
Bachelor Party.
A Bachelor Party. The Bachelor's with Dustin
Hoffman. Bachelor Party. That's a pretty fun movie, actually. Yeah.
Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party is a pretty fun
And Big movie. Is a classic.
Big's okay.
It's a classic, though.
It is a classic. I personally find it a tad overrated.
Yeah, Big is...
I mean...
Tom Hanks is great in it. I don't know.
It was just his big breakthrough movie is the thing. So, of course, it's going to be...
I don't know. It's just.
I don't think Bachelor Party was his breakthrough movie.
His big breakthrough was Bosom Buddies.
Big Bosom Buddy. You just said that. Just to say that. Then there's The Burbs, which was a weird
Burbs
one.
Burbs, that's a great movie, too. That's a weird fucking movie.
Yeah, that is weird. That's a little hard to watch at times.
Isn't The
this
Doctor?
Is weird.
The Doctor is in The Burbs?
The Doctor who looks like Teller from Penn and Teller. Is that actor? The actor who plays the doctor in The Burbs?
No, the doctor in Voyager.
Oh, Robert Picardo.
Robert Picardo plays a garbage man in The Burbs, doesn't he?
In The Burbs, there's that character.
I've never seen The
there
Burbs.
Was that, there's a character in The Burbs, the creepy neighbor in The Burbs, who looks like that actor that looks like fucking Teller from Penn and Teller. I can't remember his name. I'm going to look it up.
I remember in like the sixth grade or something, some kid was telling me all about The Burbs.
Maybe we should be doing a Tom Hanks podcast on the side.
Yeah. On the side.
It's got Tom Hanks. Maybe we can interview him for every episode.
Oh, the Carrie Fisher was in The Burbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Burbs is a star-studded cast.
I remember hearing about that.
Henry Gibson, Dr. Werner.
Oh, Henry Gibson's great.
And he was a doctor. He played Dr. Werner Klopek.
He also played an Illinois Nazi in Blues Brothers. And he was on Last.
So he looks kind of like Teller from Penn and Teller.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We've got a little bit more to talk about Tom Hanks and related stuff, so we're going to do that over the break so we don't burden you, the audience, with that. And when we come back,
we don't burbs in you.
When we come back from break,
put the burbs in you.
We're going to wrap things up, I promise.
You're almost there.
Get the burbs on
you. We're going to wrap things up. You don't got too much more to listen to, but you are obligated at this stage.
Yeah, it's too late now.
You got to finish up.
You got to. This is a point of no return. It's not, what's that one? Is the fallacy, the sunken cost fallacy? It's not that. It's the point of no return.
Yes. And just basic internet politeness.
Yeah. Come at this point, you owe it to us. You owe us this much.
Some of the best shit might be coming in the next.
It's going to blow your fucking
mind.
We
don't know.
And you want to be the first to hear it.
Yeah. All right. You
don't know that.
Find out.
You can listen to it first and you can sell that experience of listening to it. That experience you felt that when you listened to it first and you felt that elation knowing that it became the most famous thing ever. We will package that experience and you can package it and sell it to other people and get rich off of it.
All right.
Every time.
We'll be right back. We're back.
Are we?
We're back. I know it's a little confusing because I've managed thus far to refrain from taking yet another bite from that delicious vial.
Oh, is there still more of that jingle?
I've got a lot. Do you want some, Jesse?
Yeah, kind of.
Here, okay. Hold on.
Is this really going on?
I'm not biting into it. I'm just going to break off a piece for Jesse. Hold on. I just take off my headphones here. I'm going to walk across the studio. I'm going to walk over here to Mr. Jesse. Here you go.
Oh, thanks, man. Wow, that's a big old bite.
Yeah.
The big old buttload, the B.O.B.
Damn right, it's a big old bite. All right, get the headphones back on. Okay, we're back in business.
Thanks, man. That's some serious
See,
candy.
Jesse, you're smacking around. Nobody likes to hear smacking.
What they do if they like ASMR.
No, they like to hear chewing. Do they like to hear people like smacking noise? I'm not going to do it because it's like gross to me.
If you're sexy enough, they like it when you smack the lips. Jesse qualifies for sure.
Yeah.
As you know, as you well know.
Smack, smack, smack into a slim, smack your lips. Smack.
You've combined Randy Savage and Bill Cosby.
Smack your lips.
I don't know.
This is a problematic podcast we're producing.
I'm just going to stop it right there.
Okay.
I know. That's the end of our podcast.
Just stop at the podcast.
Yeah, I'm calling it.
All right. So we have to provide any other important conclusions that we may have missed in all this nonsense we've been doing, and or some odds and ends.
So she was talking about to Ransom when he was talking to her and she was falling off that thing. He was like, "What's that noise?" or whatever. And she's like, "I opened an exterior pressure conduit," and like, and it seems like such a vague thing. It's like, "Oh, you opened an exterior pressure conduit," and that accounts for the noise. Yes. And it's like, "Why are you doing that?" You know, it's just kind of funny. Like,
it's like a fart.
It's like, and nobody ever questioned if that's what it really sounds like and why she did it, which is another funny Ransom thing to do, if I do say so myself.
In this case, that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Nobody else can say that, but you.
What do you think about 20-sided die?
I think they're awesome.
Now, here's the thing. When you,
I think he set you up, Jesse. Dan set you up for some fucking. He's gonna lay down some fucked up shit.
No, it's. Oh, man. I think it's. Very, I think this is something that a lot of people have thought of. When you have two die to make dice, two pieces of die to make dice, two units of die. There are two sixes, generally speaking, right? So you went through 12. Now, there's different numbers. There's different odds for each number you get. The most common being like 7, 6 or something like that.
It's usually like, I think the number's in the middle generally.
Yeah, right, which makes sense. And two sixes or two ones are the least likely. So you got these odds, right? And so, oh, you got to roll a this to get this. Oh, if you roll that.
You got to roll a this to get this.
If this really easy to get this because you got to roll a 6 for it. But if you, this is really hard, you got to roll a 2 for. Or 7 is probably the most likely. And so the 2 is really hard. So the odds are built into the structure of the situation. But with the 20-sided die, there's an equal likelihood of getting any one of those 20 numbers. So the way you have to work it out is you have to say, you have to make ranges. You have to invent the odds yourself. You have to say, okay, well, if you roll a 1, you fail. If you roll a 2 through 5, then this. If you roll a 5 through 12, that's even more likely. You could say, if you roll a 15 through a 20, and that would be more likely than just hitting a straight 10. Where I'm, you see what I'm saying? Where the likelihood of
Jesse
getting...
Jesse and I, by the way, audience, Jesse and I are looking at each other. Because Dan has developed this bizarre habit in recent months. He's always bringing up fucking math. He's always shouting a bunch of numbers.
It's
a bunch of math.
Well, it's the interface to existence is math, basically.
So you were talking about like 6 D6s.
Two D6s.
Which does not add up to 20.
No, but the point is if you say roll a 7 and you're like, oh boy, that's
but
gonna...
it would work the same way, but there's just more number possibilities in the middle.
Well, so look,
I'm inclined to side with Jesse.
No. Look,
but I'm insufficiently experienced
if you said,
this area of
if
inquiry.
If you said
to make a determination.
If you said roll a 7 with 2 D6s, that's very likely to get. If you said roll a 7 with a D20, it's just as likely to roll a 7 as it is an 8, a
it's
9,
a
10.
1 out of 20 chance.
Right. Whereas with the die, the odds change because there's 2 involved.
Okay.
And so that's the problem I have with a 20-sided dice, but you can make up
maybe
for that.
Maybe that should be the problem you have with having 2 D6s.
No, that's what I like about D6s is because, but the thing is, but you can still account for it is because instead of saying.
And that would be different than, two D6s is different than rolling a D12.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. Exactly. And so in those cases.
Because you can't get a 1.
See, he wanted to talk about a fucking D12 versus 2 D6s, and he snuck that into the conversation because they mentioned a D20 in the episode, and a D20 is not even relevant to this particular statistical debate.
Okay, it's relevant enough.
I'm not critiquing it. I'm just pointing that out.
Well, it's relevant enough.
I like those percentile
because,
dice.
Because you hear more about 20-sided dice than you do a D12, one D12. You hear more about 20-sided.
Everybody's I like it where you roll the 2 10-sided and like one is the 10.
See, those are interesting, but these are things you have to take into account when playing a game. if there's a game you're playing that the numbers you have to roll are between 2 and 12,
right.
You can't go into that, just bring your 12-sided die and say, we're going to play with this.
Because what if you roll a 1?
What if you roll a 1?
You have to roll again.
And you have to roll again.
Melder? Who said anything about
but,
super
Melder? But the point is that in order to roll a hard 7 with 2 D6s is more likely to happen than with a D12.
Okay.
So it's important the kind of dice you use. Because it's caked into the way the odds are presented to the player.
They were just using the D20 system.
I'm just saying the D20 system is different. That's my whole point.
I appreciate this conversation. I've provided a lot of latitude here.
He's provided us latitude. Thank you, Patrick, for providing us latitude.
In part, because I do think that this conversation will be of a certain level of interest to a broad section of our
audience. It's very basic.
I would hope so.
I think it's a very basic concept.
Yes, no, I agree with all this. I'm honestly fascinated by this conversation. However, this is a Star Trek podcast.
Well, I'm talking about Batlets and Binux.
No, but you're not really.
You were using that as an excuse to talk about like.
You just wanted to shut up
some
math. Numbers.
You were simultaneously berating and pleading with me.
Okay.
Fine. I made my point.
And no doubt people who know, who have the underlying mathematical proofs, they'll email them to us at feedback@itscottstartrek.com or contact us on social media, which we'll provide in just a bit, and give us what the correct answer is.
There was no answer. It was more just like, no, there is an answer.
You've
I didn't ask a question.
No, but you've made an assertion, which quite likely may be correct. If it is correct, people will write in.
It's a fact that it's true. If you go into...
No, I'm not. Why am I doing this? It's because I'm interested. What I'm saying is that I want to see the explanation that convinces me that you're correct.
If you had a D,
I don't have enough information.
If you had a D12 and had to re-roll one,
I know if you
it's different odds than rolling two D6s.
I know you're stating that, and I'm declaring this is not a new
issue.
I
think it's self-evident.
I understand that you do, and I'm saying because I lack sufficient information, I cannot yet believe that.
Are you trying to? So it's a 1 in 12 chance versus rolling a 2 is much less likely than rolling.
I've already explained. I took way too much podcast medication today.
Okay. Let me just say
half of a Violet Crumble staring me in the fucking face.
Okay. I'm just going to say one more thing. It is less.
Fucking Columbo over here.
Here's the question. Here's the assertion.
I'm about to admit my crimes, even though you don't have any evidence.
Here's the assertion.
I got it.
That it is less likely that you will roll a 2 on 2 d6s than it is you will roll a 2 on 1 d12.
I got it.
That's all I'm saying.
And all I'm saying is that sounds cool.
It's self-evident.
I don't agree that it's self-evident in context. It's self-evident in your... You have enough mathematical knowledge.
No, it's just 1 in 12 versus rolling 2 ones.
All right. I require for my own... brain.
I can't believe this is even a question.
Okay, all right. I'm cool with that. Any odds and ends about this? Any additional odds and ends about this episode of fucking Star Trek? Lower Decks. It's a really good show. They put so much effort into it. And we're talking about some nonsense.
Not nonsense. The interface to existence is what we're talking about.
There's more of like the whole thing, like where the Lower Decks quarters is just like in the hallway, and you saw like Tendi was just in a towel,
and she was all like, folding her other towel nicely,
like, and that's just like they're just out in the open.
It's like cool. It's like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I mean, remember they take the sonic showers together.
Well, that's true too, but it's just weird that
they already live in a hall.
The higher ups get their own. Yeah. Quarters.
Yeah. Right. They get a hallway.
I like it. I like the presentation where nobody's like,
but it's funny.
Hooting and hollering about it. Like Boimler isn't being all like,
oh,
yeah,
right.
They're
professional.
It's not that.
They're like Larry King. They are professional.
In another style show, the character of Boimler would be all like uncomfortable by it or something.
Or hiding behind his pad or something, right. Which he would do he would do that in other scenarios. Mm-hmm.
I actually thought it was a cogent point that the Ferengi Martok made when he said at the end to Boimler, he says, "The only way you can lose now is by letting your foe define who you are."
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty
good
awesome.
That was
solid advice. And then the classic Klingon, but also very good advice.
I find that's good. I never let that happen.
Yeah, that's good.
I think Jesse's threatening you, Dan.
That's why
he's sipping on his whiskey over there. And,
Then he says, "Never back down, never cower." Which there's, exceptions, but never cower. Sure, that's a good one. Sometimes you got to back down, but you know, I know what he's getting. The point he's making.
But you're not going to define me.
Yeah, don't define me. Don't tell me how to be. That's what I say.
Don't tell me how to be.
I have heard you say that on more than one occasion.
I do actually say that.
You used to say that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think I've covered most of the things.
The cetaceans are like, need some stellar navigation.
Oh, yeah. See, that there's just too much, because that was a great one, too.
The line about he ripped your arm off and he beat you to death with your hand, which is
by your own hand,
which is technically a dishonorable death. Yeah, because you died by your own hands. Or whatever,
and all of that humor works.
That was funny
because it makes sense for Klingons.
Good
right?
old Klingon stuff.
That's
man. That's
part of what's so excellent about this show is that the writers know enough about the lore to not only present a cool story, but present a story that makes sense with all the characters, even the fictional Klingon Martok, you know, characters, all of that stuff. It works really great.
Ransom at first was all indignant about, like, no, they're not space elevators. They're orbital lifts or whatever. But then later on, he's like, the space, orbital lifts. Yeah. And by the end, he's just calling it space elevators. Yeah. Kind of dude. There's a
Voyager episode, I think, that has, I can't remember which one it was, but I vaguely remember there was one where they had a similar setup.
I love, couldn't transport. I love the idea of space elevators. It's so cool. Man. It seems so impractical, but it's like awesome.
Carbon nanofibers.
Carbon nanofibers.
Because that's a long way down, man.
It's a long way
down. How long is that
elevator
ride?
How long is this elevator ride to the ground through this orbital lift?
Fell,
that's the orbital lift snapped and fell. I'm sure
you could go to hell. Ransom was talking about don't misalign the dampeners, and I realized in season 1 episode 5 Cupid's Errant Arrow, Rutherford says something about inertial dampers.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in Lower Decks is dampeners. So I'm thinking that dampers only applies to inertial things. I think that's what we can conclude.
I think the debate rages on. I think in other Star Trek you've seen
you see inertial dampeners?
I think so.
Yeah. But do they ever say, like,
Jesus.
would they ever say damper in a different situation? It seems like the only one that loses out is dampers.
I don't know.
They say dampener in place of damper, but they don't say damper in place of dampener.
We have to do a research project. Scan all the...
scan all.
Do a textual analysis.
Take scan all.
Scan it all into the
got a problem with data? Take scan all.
Wait, what about...
Why do you have a problem with data?
You have a problem with lore?
Why
do you have a problem with Geordi?
Are you a data hoarder? Do you need somewhere to put all your data? Get scan all.
What was that? Kivas Faho? Was that the guy who was hoarding data?
Oh,
he was the collector guy.
Right.
Okay. Nachos.
Guacamole.
Yeah, walking around with nachos. California one of the class. Waiters. Lots of nachos.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. California class gets the guacamole.
Oh, there was that other ship, the Inglewood, which is another place in California.
That is
it's up to
place.
No good, from what I hear.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
That's what Dr. Dre said.
I'm staying away from that.
Dr. Dre said it. It's always up to
For real, dude.
I didn't say that. I'm just going based on what I heard.
Okay. Anything else?
But I don't know from experience.
The Sequoia was back in there. Sequoia hanging out back in there where they're hanging out all the time. The Sequoia shuttle in the background. Tons of other stuff. The Klingon weapons they each had were all from previous series. I don't know what else to say. It's a great fun episode. Yeah,
pretty funny stuff.
The animation was really good on Cranch. I really liked him. Like he looked really monstrous and beastie.
Yeah,
he was a beastie boy.
Sabotage.
Sabotage. Sabotage.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, to me, it sounds like there's nothing else.
Sounds
that we
like
have
the
to
end
say.
Of the podcast.
End of the podcast, and we can do all
an
the
hour and 20 minutes.
The regular bits. One of the regular bits is how to contact us.
No!
Of course, feedback at discussstartrek.com.
The usual way.
If you want to write one of them old-fashioned emails, but make sure if you're writing us an old-fashioned email, you got to have one email signature like you had in the 80s and 90s. You got to have an email signature. It's got to be some sort of quote from a novel you like or an astronomer or some shit, some philosopher.
That's the Star Trek way.
Inspirational.
Maybe, you know, Lao Tzu or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a bunch of like asterisks and shit involved. To make it clear that,
and
you know,
you need to practice your netiquette. I had a teacher once tell me that I needed to work on my netiquette because I didn't put my name at the end of my email, and I was just like, you know who I am. She's like you need to practice your netiquette.
I not only do I always sign my emails, I always sign my emails, Patrick. Even when my full email signature with all my information is...
Sounds like some teacher would say, like a netiquette.
Yeah,
They made that up. Well, she just made that up.
That's the thing, is I usually tag my name at the end of emails, but sometimes I don't if there's been, like, if I was going to send one of you guys an email, which is a weird thing to do, I'd only do that if I was sharing you a link or something. But,
no,
but like,
you
I wouldn't...
would send it on, like, WhatsApp or text or something.
Yeah, well, anyways, if I sent someone like you guys an email or something...
I'd be
something,
nervous if you sent me an email. Getting an email from either Dan or Jesse would be similar to like getting a phone call
just
from
thinking,
one of them.
Yeah, I was just thinking,
what happened? Oh no, what's happened?
But with one of you guys, I wouldn't put my signature, I wouldn't tag my name at the end. I only do it for basic communication, but this is my teacher, and I don't know. Back then, I thought we were...
Right, audience members who wish to contact us, please just proper signature, you know, old-fashioned signature.
Or else I'll get you on your netiquette. Yeah, I don't know.
Social...
It's one of those words that they took on the internet when they made a real word and added a couple internet word letters to it and made it like a silly word.
Social...
Sounds like Connecticut.
Social networking.
It's not,
but it sounds
so like. On you can get us at symbol It's Got Star Trek on Twitter, Instagram.
What's the on symbol?
Truth Social.
You said at Twitter on Instagram.
Truth Social.
You missed my joke, Dan. You were trying to make a joke. You missed my
Truth Social. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I walked all over your joke.
Not,
I feel bad.
We're not currently on Truth Social, but we are on Twitter and
what's
Instagram.
What's Truth Social?
That's Trump's whole business, his clone of Twitter.
Is that thing still around?
Is it a whole nother thing?
Sorry, I feel bad that I walked on your joke.
It's okay.
What was that thing called, Parler?
I'll try harder next time.
Yeah, Parler was the one that collapsed because of all the racists and terrorists. So I did the social media, YouTube, Facebook, which is also social media, YouTube. Reddit, we don't, there's not much going on there, but if you want there to be something going on there, Reddit. it's actually /r/ It's Got Everything.
Reddit.
Because it's supposed to cover all our podcasts. Currently, we just have the one. But in the future.
You said hate at first. That was a Freudian slip.
Hate?
You said, because we.
Did I say hate?
You said we hate, have only one. That's what you said.
We hate our
play
only
back
podcast.
The tape.
I'll listen to it when
you
I'm
hate.
Would you consider YouTube a social media?
Socialish. It's not as social as social-ish. TikTok.
I don't use it as social media. I use it as a place to watch videos.
Yeah, but then some people like to do live videos or live video watching. Yeah. There's all chatting.
That's true.
People are all mean to each other in the chat.
Everything's right. Flexible, man.
No, I know about the chat, but I wouldn't considering about the live stream stuff. I'm like an old fogey, I guess. Because I watch YouTube, not like that.
Right. Anyway, you can find us there. Lots of people listen to us on YouTube. You might be listening to us on YouTube
right now.
Right now.
Not literally, because right now there's no way you could be listening to it's literally.
It hasn't been
literally.
Released yet. That way.
literally. But okay, so that does it for all the communication stuff.
It does it for real.
I've had
enough.
Definitely, again, reminder, go check out Green Shirt Podcast. You should check out every episode, but if you need some particular enticement, and for some reason this might qualify, if you'd like to hear me on that podcast in the context of a different podcast, which might be interesting for all sorts of reasons, you can listen to the episode on The Next Phase, which just was released the other day, so go check it out. Otherwise...
The Next Phase wasn't released the other day, the podcast.
I think that was implicit from the context of my statement.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We need evidence because just like my assertion about statistics and single die versus double die, we need a paper apparently written on it.
And that is a fair point that I fully agree with. And I encourage that sort of inquiry.
You're just doing it to be doing it.
I fully am sincerely in favor.
You're doing it on purpose.
Should have a podcast called the next phage, and it could be about eating stuff.
Phage?
Yeah.
Like phagia.
I thought you meant like that that episode of Voyager where they had like giant viruses floating around the ship, and Janeway was shooting them with like a big old phaser rifle, and her sleeves were all, she was wearing
that sounds
cut
like
off
a, that sounds like shirt. A fun video game.
Yeah. It's an okay episode.
But the video game.
Next week, of course, next week we will be discussing
augmented reality.
The third episode of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3. I don't happen to know the name of the episode. I don't know if they've released it yet or not, but whatever the third episode is, that's the one we'll be talking about.
It's going to be called Clips or Claps.
Maybe it's the crossover episode.
Why don't you roll a couple of D6s and see...
A couple of D's nuts.
I don't know.
Oh.
That doesn't really work, does it? All right. That will do it for us this evening. And until next week, what do we say to our audience, Dan?
What do we say?
Until next time. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. You know, that works for me. Good night. Bye-bye.
You eat breakfast and gain +3 stamina!